Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I'm excited to be with two people from Fentress County Government today, and I've actually never had a finance director on my show. I have offered maybe one or two in the last couple of years, but I've got my first finance director with me, Tyler Arms from Fentress County, and his county executive, Jimmy Johnson, who has been on my show before, and Jimmy's full of good information. Been in Fentress County most of his life, originally from Indiana, I believe, and I don't remember however you come to Fentress County? What
were
you? 6 years old. So he's almost a lifelong native of Fentress County. Tyler, you been there the whole time?
Whole life.
Tyler's young, folks. He's a young guy. He's younger than me. He's real smart, does a good job for Fentress County. I wanted to start with, and it's not great news, but it's been going on for the last few years, and it's finally come to an end. We don't have to mention names of people, but Fentress County went through a fraud case where an employee in the finance office, not Tyler, committed some fraud and misused some credit cards in the county. And how long had you been on the job when this occurred?
About 5 months.
5 months. So when Tyler first started, he called me a lot. Of course, Jimmy, told him, the current administration said call him, and then Jimmy got in, and basically we all communicate quite a bit. And so I get this phone call, and before I get to the phone call, when did you know, Tyler, that something wasn't right?
So I came from banking. So when I walk in the office, like, third day on the job, and there's credit cards laying on a desk that's right beside the front door, that raises a red flag. And I actually had a conversation with Jimmy not long after that I thought, this don't look right to me. But hey, maybe I'm a little overprotective. Come from banking, everything's internal control there. But come to find out, it's about the same anywhere you go. You got to watch it anywhere you go.
Yeah. Jimmy, you'd been county executive how long when this happened?
I got elected August 4th and took the seat September the 4th. So I'd been in there about a month, and he came down and said, something don't look right. And I said, well, we need to figure out what it is.
So Jimmy was, and you know this from listening to previous shows when he's been on, he was a county commissioner before that. So he wasn't a stranger to county government, but he did not expect a potential fraud case in front of him a month into what was going on. And so I remember getting a phone call from you, Tyler, saying, hey, this is not adding up. What do I need to do? And I basically told you to call the Fraud, Waste, and Abuse Hotline. Reported.
Yeah.
Because you have an obligation to do that. And so that started the process. We now know how much money can be accounted for that was misused and stolen?
Just over $237,000 from the county. There's another $2,000 from the Little League.
I really shouldn't throw this out there, but I'm going to. We probably think it's more than that. That's as far back as they went. It was $237,000. There's probably more of that gone. The good thing is it did hurt the county, right? Financially, yep. It hurt the county.
Oh, yeah.
That much money is going to hurt any county. Well, especially the size of Fentress County. Anytime somebody's misusing that much money, because a taxpayer is making up for that. The taxpayer is paying it. And so, Tyler, how is someone able to take a county credit card that belongs to a certain retail store, go in and buy stuff, and get away with it if it's personal expenses?
Our biggest issue was the use of blankets in our county, blanket purchase orders that were keyed in at the time that the invoice came in. She used those to manipulate primarily how to, so she would say the blanket's for an auto parts store. She would change that blanket to a Walmart blanket. And so then she had some funds there that a purchase order she could file that under. Yeah. People weren't being given an account analysis at the end of the month, so they weren't able to review those purchases to see what was being spent. And too much power into one person's hands, and then ultimately, you're not involved. Your office holders, your elected officials, they're not being given the information they need to be able to review.
And they trust the employee because the employee had been there for years. We're not talking about
a 16-year employee.
Yeah, we're not talking about somebody just started and decided they wanted to steal from the county. This is somebody that's been there a long time. They had developed trust with not only their department heads and their boss before you came in, but they developed trust with county commissioners and other officials. And so nobody questioned it.
I believe you told me that it blew your mind when I told you, because you were well aware of her. You'd worked with her for a while, and it blew your mind when I told you that as well.
It did, because we had developed a working relationship where every time I'd go up there, that's the first person I saw, and I walked in the office, we would talk about family, UT football, kids. Not my kids.
Speaking of UT football, you know, she funded those tickets with the, well, with the same thing.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was getting to that. So this person was able to did she do it through Visa gift cards?
I guess.
So use the Walmart credit card through the Gannon County's name, go buy Visa gift cards from Walmart, take those Visa gift cards, and basically you can spend it on whatever. And one of those purchases were season tickets to University of Tennessee football athletics.
UT football, Dollywood tickets, car payment, phone bills, you name it, she paid for it.
Atlanta Braves tickets, I believe. And then also using that card to buy personal items at the Walmart store that resulted in thousands of dollars. Yeah. So we bring this up. Yes, it's bad. It's not anything anybody should have to go through. Jimmy and Tyler shouldn't have had to go through this. It should have been prevented. Internal controls probably wasn't in place like it should be. Well, I know there wasn't. But the biggest problem was trust. And trust is not an internal control.
Yeah. And you talked about impact. I mean, you were talking about taxpayers' dollars. So if you look from just the time that they investigated, 2014 to 2018, okay, our effect on fund balance in that time was like a $250,000 deficit across those years to our fund balance. So you're talking 4 years, you're looking at $250,000. Since then, 2019, 2020, 2021, now we're still in projections. We've not closed yet our fiscal year 21, but our projection right now is in those 3 years, we'll have added roughly $1.9 million to our fund balance. Granted, that's not all her. That's other management decisions as well. That's, we do a little better as a county, and we cut and grind everywhere we can to try to save our taxpayers, but that is a chunk of it.
Yeah, and that's good info. So, Jimmy, let me ask you. You're a commissioner from 2014 to 18. Did y'all have to raise taxes during that time?
No, we didn't. We actually, when the new rate came down from the state, of course, they wanted to set it at 185. We were at 199.8. We stopped at 191. So some says you do because you don't go with the state, but to my knowledge, the only thing that out there does says you can pay for what you had last year if they set it at a different rate. And so, but we did drop it. It cost, from the drop that we did do, was around $300,000. So you take that three and what we lost all together, you're at $600,000. And another lawsuit that we had, that's another $300,000. So,
yeah.
But we're coming out on top. But,
well, y'all are doing better now.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the time, they were on like a, $35,000 a year salary, and then you had an average of $60,000 more, so you had a $95,000 lifestyle there that you was living.
And since then, we have given larger raises. We've even given a Christmas bonus to our employees. So since then, we're doing more with the money that we have and still able to add more to fund balance.
And that's good, and it's really not luck. It's all about management, and it's all about communication. It's working together. But just imagine if you had that $230,000-something back. That's could have done more.
That's a couple ambulances.
Yeah, exactly. So it's unfortunate. We'll move on from this in just a minute. I just wanted to bring it up and bring it to people's attention that fraud does happen. There's so many things that can prevent it. You technically can never fully prevent it. If somebody is determined to steal, they will steal. I've seen it. I'm a certified fraud examiner. I've went through cases, tons of cases, and taught classes on internal controls. But the difference in having good internal controls in place and not having any at all, if somebody's determined to steal, you're going to catch it a lot sooner.
Exactly.
It ain't going to go on for 4 years.
Yeah. My opinion is, and this is what I tell all of them in my office, is, we can fix anything but theft. I said, but we have to try to mitigate theft as much as possible. That's the goal. If somebody's going to steal, they're going to steal.
Yeah.
You can't prevent it 100%.
That's right. You're right. Because if they rationalize themselves, let's say Jimmy, the county decides to not give any raises, but the insurance premium increases on the employees by $600. So the employees got to pay $600 more a year. But the county didn't give any raises. I'm not saying this happened. Just giving you an example. Then the employee can rationalize to themselves, well, the county don't care anything about me. My paycheck's going to be less this next year because I'm paying more for health insurance and they didn't give us a raise or fund that. So they can rationalize in their mind, well, I'm going to take money to make up for that insurance payment. So that's why I encourage counties, don't let that happen. Don't give your employees a reason to, people shouldn't want to steal anyway. Okay. They should want to do good, but don't give them a reason to rationalize in their brain that they can do this. And maybe they have an opportunity. Like you said, credit cards are laying all over the desk.
Yeah.
That's opportunity for anybody to come in and grab a credit card. I could have come in and grabbed a credit card, went to Walmart and bought some stuff, and you might not have ever known it.
Yeah. Underpaid long-term employees are a huge risk. I mean, for the fact of what you just said, they can rationalize that, hey, I deserve this. I've put my time in here. So, I mean, underpaid long-term employees, they're trusted. Same situation we were in, you know, they can rationalize in their mind that I deserve this. I should make this much money.
Yeah. So this last Monday was the trial and that come to conclusion, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what was the result?
She got, the judge come back with a 12-year sentence out of a possible 18, came back with a 12-year sentence in TDOC.
TDLC.
Yes.
Okay.
At 30%.
So. Okay. So guaranteed 4 years sentenced and then see what happens from there, yeah. I guess. Okay. Well, it's over with. Do y'all feel better now? Are you glad? Are you relieved?
I'm glad it's over with. I think in accordance to the DA's office, we're looking at probably the best sentencing we could have seen. I mean, yeah, you'll hear a lot of people say that they wanted restitution and a payback, but you really can't get them both. How do you expect somebody to pay from behind bars for one? And also, I mean, the employee, they're no longer employed anywhere, and that would be a tough way to, I mean, be hard to find a job. So you can't get something out of nothing.
There's no means to pay it back.
Right.
So the sentencing was about as, you know, okay. Good information. We're going to talk. We got more to talk about. We got to talk about, American Rescue Plan funds. Fentress County is trying to do something great, and I'm so happy for them if it works out. We're hoping to know something next couple of weeks, but we're going to talk about that plan. We're going to look at your budget, for fiscal year 22, and anything else we come, cause I talk to these guys a lot and we could talk for a day. So I hope you, got some good information. This is Local Matters with Ben Rogers, Jimmy Johnson from Fentress County, and Tyler Arms. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. This has been Rogers here on Local Matters with Jimmy Johnson, Tyler Arms. We have been talking about some things that are finally moved on from in the fraud case there in Fentress County. It's been going on for a few years. It's closed. It closed up on Monday. We're moving on from that in the show as well. Just wanted to give people some knowledge on that. Got some potentially good news. Of course, everybody knows the American Rescue Plan funds that come down back in March, and the funds were released in May. County governments, city governments have access to those funds. Some counties have drawn the money down. A few of them have spent it. In this case, Fentress County has drawn the money down and actually spent some of it. And so, Jimmy, how much money are y'all getting for the American Rescue Plan, and what have you spent that on?
I believe we're getting a total of $3.4 million in the two-year period. We drew down, I think, Tyler, $1.7 million or something. That's what we've drawn down so far. Yeah. And so we have... We've been, of course, in a crisis with the hospital shut down for now, going on for a couple of years. And we got in a conversation just by fell in our lap. The senior vice president of UT Med came in one day and was paying his taxes. Yes, he has some land up there and a home in Fentress County. And we got to talking, chit-chatting around. And I just asked him, you know, is there a possibility that we can, y'all might be able to help do something? And he said, well, we talked, but of course COVID came in. This was like in February of 20, and in about April of 20 or May, we started talking again, wondering if we were still interested. And of course we were. We kind of talked about our needs and this and that. So we went, put it in their hands, you know, what they could do, join forces with them. And they had the contacts of several congressional figures, Mr. Rose, Congressman Rose, Senator Blackburn, Senator Alexander, and of course, now Senator Hagerty, Then we had all our state officials, you know, John Mark Wendell and Kelly Kiesling and Senator Yeager and Mr. Bailey here in Cameron Section, of course, helping us. And so, long story short, we did purchase a building. We talked with the state commissioner of health, Ms. Piercy, to get a roadmap what we need to do. And she said, you know, the first thing you need to do is get your need, get someone to help you with your need, and then you can find a building. So that's what we've done so far. And so we have purchased a building out of our monies that are coming down from the federal monies that are coming down. So, and it is all, we researched it, and Tyler researched it to make sure that with the comptrollers and such that we could use the money for this situation. That's what we used it for. And we purchased a diagnostic center that was there in town. And so next Wednesday we'll go, everything has went through so far so good. So next Wednesday we'll be going to the state board for the CON process, and after it passes, which I hope that it does and really feel confident that it will. So we'll be going before them. When it passes, then it'll be ready to start with UT Med, and they'll come on board, and hopefully by the middle or the last of the first quarter next year, we'll be in operation.
So I've bragged on y'all, and I try to as much anyway, considering everything y'all stepped into. We at CTAS encouraged our officials to kind of be patient on drawing down the money, you know, just to see what the guidelines are. In your case, it was different because you obviously have a need in the county. Mm-hmm. You have no hospital care there. You've, and let's be honest, Jimmy, you've wanted to get this done because you care enough to make something available for your people. And you and I've talked about it a lot. So this is something you've been working on for a while. This opportunity presented itself for this American Rescue Plan money. Tyler did his due diligence, and which we knew he would, but to make sure and to talk to the comptroller's office that this money could be used for this purpose. And so we're not critical of y'all because you have a dire need right now and you wanted to go ahead and draw your money down and get this building purchased so you had somewhere that UT could use for this operation. Of course, Treasury, United States Treasury, is the end all when it comes to the guidance on how you spend it. But the comptroller's office, Tyler, has told you that everything they know, this is a great cause, it's worthy. But if something happened, y'all have the money to make sure that you could pay for it anyway.
Yeah, so like they will not tell you, yes, that's a qualifying purchase. Like they're not going to say yes and take responsibility. I mean, of course, obviously.
Right.
They're still in the same game as CTAS of, hey, you know, you need to hold on and wait on a final ruling. But my conversation with Betsy Knotts, I was on the phone with Betsy. I tried to contact everybody I could at the comptroller level. And basically, it's worth the risk to us because we were going to buy it one way or another.
Right.
And we didn't really want to hit fund balance for it, drain our fund balance to get this building purchased. And we didn't really want to issue debt. I mean, if we've got the opportunity to not have to issue debt. So basically, phone conversation with Betsy. I've got it in an email in writing that she went ahead and approved, you know, non-exempt debt for us if something happened and we have to pay this back. So yeah, there's a little risk to it, but ultimately in the end, we were going to do this anyways, no matter what. And it's just a great opportunity that this came down. And we can fit it to, COVID. We can fit it to serving, you know, serving our population. We're in a qualified census tract. So, I mean, it lines up. I don't think that we'll see any issues, but I definitely tried to chase down like, hey, worst case scenario, because we don't need to be a year down the road trying to get this hospital going or this ER going and then them come back and say, hey, no, you're going to have to pay back where you bought the building. And then we start scrambling. Like in a year, that needs to be the last thing on our mind. We know the steps we're going to take. In a year, we need to be moving forward with medical care for our citizens.
Yeah, and I think, Jimmy, how many calls since the hospital closed? How many calls have you gotten? Hundreds?
Oh, yeah.
Thousands,
you,
I guess,
about
the hospital.
You know, and they actually went on Mr. Romer, a lawyer in Fentress County there. He also went signature thing. We had over 4,500 signatures, people wanting this, and about 1,200 business cards been turned in. And it was on a time frame issue, too, because the folks that had it leased, they actually, their lease ran out in the end of June, so the 1st of July we had to do something because there was more people interested in the building that time. And so you're looking at a building that was a diagnostic center with your CT scans and your MRIs and such is already built. It's lined with what the lead and stuff or copper, whatever they have in it and stuff. So you're looking at a very, very expensive building that we got very, very reasonable. And so it's kind of a no-brainer to, you know, if we're going to do this and with the help of the commission supporting it all the way, they, you know, they asked it, gave me permission to look at something other, see whatever we could do and find. And so that's what we've done. And, I believe it's going to work and, we'll know next Wednesday.
So the infrastructure is pretty much in the building already. You've already got the lines, the electrical, the power to run all those scans anyway, because that's what it was used for. So really it was a win-win for this building. It's not like you just found a random building out in the county or in the city of Jamestown. You targeted a building that you knew would be ready, close to ready.
Yep.
Yeah, previous medical facility.
Yeah.
And when it works, it will, it'll be a, standalone ER with a, 24-hour clinic in it. And that there's how we got, you know, some issues taken care of by doing it that way. So it, it'll suffice our needs. It will take care of a lot of travel that we, as you know, are aware of that, our ambulance service is, run to death. And, we're just very thankful that Cookeville Regional and also Cumberland Medical Center took our patients, you know, and such as that. But it should cut our runs down about 30%.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to save the taxpayer money because of ambulance transportation. And actually, you're not taking a crew away, an ambulance, a bus, a truck away from the city and county to go transport to another city and county because you don't have anywhere to put them or have anywhere to take them for emergency. So I think it's a win-win. I applaud y'all. I've been, you know, somebody asked me, do you believe they draw their money down, spend it? Well, yeah, this is a different situation. So we're not done talking about this. There's a few more things I want to mention when we come back here on Local Matters. We'll be back in just a moment with Jimmy Johnson and Tyler Arms from Fentress County. Welcome back. This is Ben Rogers with Jimmy Johnson from Fentress County. He is the county executive. Tyler Arms is the finance director. And I should mention, we have a finance director title in county government when there is a finance office. Not all counties have a finance office, but Fentress County has been centralized, I believe, since 2004, 2005 with a finance office. And now Tyler is the finance director and he's been there for three years. So we've been talking about good news the last segment with the introduction or possibility of the introduction of an ER facility and a 24-hour clinic in Jamestown. And they're using the American Rescue Plan money to buy the building and working with UT Medical Center to make it happen. Jimmy, you mentioned you're going Wednesday to Nashville, finalize some things. Hopefully everything gets finalized. Once it gets finalized, what's the time frame that you're looking at for operations, the start of operation?
Of course, the building right now is, like you said a moment ago, it is set up for your x-rays, all your different things that they will do as far as emergency room and such. And it's big enough building that you'll have your ER on one part and your diagnostics on the other part. So with that being said, UT then will come in and set up the equipment and such, and they think if everything goes good Monday, which we're very positive that it will, or Wednesday, I'm sorry, that we're very positive that it will, that by the middle or the end of the first quarter next year, they should be up and operating.
That'd be good.
Yep, it'd be excellent. Yep.
So I know you're excited about that. What the old hospital, what's its current status? It's just empty building?
Sitting there catching dust right now. We tried to purchase that building. I was with a gentleman, tried to purchase it twice, and then we tried to purchase it twice. Then I've tried to get him to contact me three more times before we went into the diagnostic center building and couldn't even get a call back. So it's going to sit there. And, you know, it's one of those pages like we was talking about with our fraud. We've shut the book on that. So we're going to go forward and they can do whatever they need to do with that building.
So I think a lot of rural counties are dealing with the same issue of hospital shutdowns. And I still believe this. I've said it from the get-go, and I've actually sent emails to Washington to discuss the use of the funds. But this won't be a Fentress County thing in the end. I don't even think it'll be a Tennessee thing. I think this will affect rural healthcare across the nation. If this works as how we're thinking it's going to work, I think that it'll be huge for any rural county. I've said that from the get-go. Me and Jimmy have talked about that from the time we first started chasing this, and I truly think that it will change rural healthcare across America.
I think that's a good point. Great vision on this, guys. I think, Jimmy and I have talked, and Tyler, I know you and I have talked too, but Jimmy and I probably talk too much. Our wives probably get tired of us talking. Public service is a calling, and public service is what has to happen for our citizens to be able to have a good quality of life. And if you don't have good public servants in place that have a vision, that want to provide these things to their citizens, then it's, the county's not going to succeed. Y'all have that in place, so I appreciate you. So kudos to y'all, and thank you for being here and sharing this with us. So that's good news. Obviously, we're going to know Wednesday, and you're going to call me and let me know, and we'll talk more about it next time you're on, and we'll talk about the progress when you come back and what it's looking like and just everything. I hate that you have a building in the county that's just sitting there, but it's like you said, you've tried. What do you do? So I have the owners said anything about doing anything with it?
No, they are, they said a lot of things about it, but we'll not discuss that right now.
Okay.
Because
that's
everybody
fine.
Knows the situation. So,
well, it's sad it's sitting there, but at least you had the forethought to not wait on them and move on. So let's move on to the fiscal year budget. When did y'all get y'all's budget passed for fiscal year 22?
We actually had it passed before June 30th, a week or two before June 30th. We had it submitted to the state and approved before June 30th.
And did you have to do a tax increase?
No, not this year.
And you mentioned your fund balance. You keep adding back to fund balance, right? In general,
yeah,
fund?
Yeah, it seems like whenever we're building the budget and we're scraping and scrounging, you know, we're at $400,000 or $500,000 deficit and we're trying to figure out how to pass a budget is, you know, without having to hit fund balance. And then ultimately in the end, you know, people don't just blow out their budget like they used to, you know, Christmas in June, Christmas in May, Christmas in June,
yeah.
The last 3 months of the year. We seem to be our ambulance service doing really good, bringing in revenues. Of course, that's due to longer runs. But we've done really well the past 2 years. And I keep telling everybody, hey guys, don't get used to this because we're going to have a year that's not, you know, it's not going to be a huge year.
Right.
We're going to have a year where we don't add, you know, $700,000-$900,000 to fund balance. And, like I said, we've done a lot for the county. We've done a lot for the citizens. We've bought things for parks and we've done a lot, aside from just our grant monies that's been coming in. But I mean, I think that we'll continue to do well, without a tax increase at this point. But, you know, at the same time, we've got our insurance going through the roof. Everybody's is. Fuel costs are going through the roof. Things are changing. There's inflation, but we're having a lot of growth in our county right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are moving out of big cities. I don't know that I've ever, since I've lived there, and I'd say Jimmy could probably speak for the same. I don't know that I've ever seen the influx that we're seeing right now of people from out of state moving into Fentress County. And given the price they're giving for houses is just, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're glad to see people coming. We're glad to see the growth happening.
And that's in a lot of rural counties in Upper Cumberland, especially. It's not so much in West Tennessee, but middle, Upper Cumberland and East Tennessee, people are moving in and paying just, like you said, over asking price for houses. And so sales tax revenue, how much has that helped y'all, put back into fund balance? Has sales tax been up? It should have been.
It has been.
Because of the online.
Well, we don't, sales tax doesn't come into our general fund.
Where does it go?
Other than
schools.
Goes to our school, of course, and our debt service fund, and then some comes through and goes to solid waste. But now, that's been a big factor. I mean, and I think a lot of smaller counties can see that. I know when COVID first hit, they were like, hey, you need to look at this. You need to look at your revenues, potentially watch budget in these revenues. And I actually didn't sit through one of those webinars, and our consultant called from the local government finance, and he was like, hey, you missed that. I was just making sure that things are all right, you know, if you need to set in. I was like, man, I said, I don't see us losing money. I said, we're actually looking the opposite. We're gaining money. I said, where we're a small town, people aren't driving to Cookeville, Nashville, Knoxville and staying. They're doing their Christmas shopping online. And now that online site is based and it's coming to the county. So we've seen like leaps and bounds on that local option sales tax.
Yeah. And you're set up a lot like we are in Putnam. Our sales tax goes to schools and debt service. But, that can fluctuate. So I'm kind of glad our sales tax don't go into general fund. Because if it bottoms out and we're relying on sales tax to fund our general fund, then we're going to be hurting.
And we don't rely on hotel motel tax either. You know, you take some of those big counties, you know, Knox County and stuff, they probably rely a lot on hotel motel tax as well. We don't really rely on that. Yeah, it's a revenue. It's a source of income. But, you know, it's not something that it doesn't make or break us.
Yeah. So budget process, pretty easy this time. Wasn't a lot of issues. Y'all got through without a tax increase. You've added back to fund balance. Anything in the budget for fiscal year 22 that wasn't there in the previous years? Any raises or any capital projects other than what we're talked about with the new emergency room facility?
We're having to keep up with the private sector now because they're having to raise their up so much. So you're going to see we already have, and Tyler can attest to this, that, you know, you have people leaving a lot of your government services to go into the private sector because, you know, the $15 hour didn't go up. And so you got money coming from the government to people, more or less, just to be honest, just more or less stay home and not go to work kindly. And so it's caused the private sector to raise their money up. So we're having to compete with that like all counties are.
Yeah, we've done a 2% increase across the board for our employees, and we're looking at potentially having to do more now because we've got people leaving left and right. And I think that every county's suffering for the same thing. Our solid waste employees, correctional officers, and deputies, it's hard to keep them right now. The big thing that I guess we added, everybody's struggling with EMTs and paramedics, and you know it's kind of a fading career mainly because of pay. You know, and it's not us; it's all across the nation. I'm sure that Putnam County probably has issues of people moving on as well, but we actually increased the training in that to try to boost our EMT program a little bit, to try to send some people to EMT school, paramedic school, try to build our own program, booster our own program, grow people locally that's going to be willing to serve their home community, stay there. So that was a big increase we had. But, I mean, I think it's had a really positive effect. We've got a couple going to paramedic school right now. We've changed some on-call pay stuff, some stuff up, and actually I think we're getting close to full staff. I don't know that we are full staff, but we're getting back close to full staff with our ambulance service.
That's good because, yeah, I think a lot of counties are having trouble keeping paramedics and corrections officers. I have a county now that has budgeted in their jail budget for 26 corrections officers, and they only got 17 on staff because nobody wants to come and work and they can't find anybody.
Yeah, I think we budget 25. We're down 6 right now.
Yeah.
It's unsafe. I mean, you're having to run shifts down personnel. It's not safe for them.
Yeah, and the sheriff that's dealing with this interviewed two people, and one of them was getting ready to hire, and they failed their psych evaluation. So you can't hire somebody that can't get through the psych evaluation. Yeah. So he's still stuck at 17. Guys, I appreciate y'all being here. The last thing I wanted to talk about right quick was the state grant money. How much y'all getting from the governor's grant money?
I think roughly $348,000.
So you have any plans for that yet?
No, we formed a committee. So I recommended it in our commission meeting Monday night. We formed a committee to kind of handle these relief monies that's coming down, somebody to run through so we have a justification. These people can kind of know the qualifying purchases and not just for the ARP funds, but also for the state grant money as well. And maybe have a little bit of input. We can tackle some bigger projects that way. We can evaluate a need. I'd like to keep that committee and use them as a five-year planning committee to try to develop a five-year plan for Fentress County. You give me 5 years, I can make something happen. You give me 6 months, it's a little tough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Jimmy, you ready for UT football? I think it starts 2 weeks from yesterday.
I'd say you're looking at a national championship someplace in the country for some school.
There will be a national championship won. We just don't know by who. Well, if COVID lets us do it. Guys, good information. That's why I have y'all on. Jimmy, appreciate your friendship. Tyler, appreciate you getting to know you, become a friend, and just two great guys. And there's so many great people in Fentress County. There's so many people there that do a good job, and just thankful for them. Thankful that I get to work with y'all. So thanks for being here. Appreciate y'all driving in the studio. Everybody, I hope you have a great weekend. This has been Local Matters. Just be kind to one another, as I always say this weekend. I want to thank my producer, Will. Does a great job. And we'll see you all next week.